السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The history of Muslims in South Africa is a fascinating topic whereby we learn the roots of people that had come to our country. And though it's a lengthy topic and there's so much, there are some personalities that stand out because of the contribution to what they had done in terms of Islam in our beautiful country of South Africa. From among these personalities, without doubt, has got to be Hazrat Maulana Ismail Saab Qatrada, rahmatullahi alayh. His contribution, him getting so many ulama ready, being the tutors and the ustads of so many ulama, have definitely got to stand out, and undoubtedly, this is something that really we have to acknowledge, we have to understand, we have to be motivated by, and we keep on making dua for such great ulama-i kiram. And with us this evening, we have Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Qatrada, the son of Maulana Ismail. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Maulana, it's really an honor to have you this evening to speak about your honorable father. When some of the ulama asked me, who are we speaking about? I said, Maulana Ismail. They said, but 1 hour will never be enough. I'm saying, even if we had the whole 24 hours, we wouldn't be able to cover a quarter of what Hazrat Maulana has achieved in his life.
For this few minutes, we'll decide to say a few words concerning my honorable father, his background and things like that.
Maulana, we generally start on our program regarding the background of the alim that we're profiling. A little bit of family history regarding your honorable father, Maulana.
Okay. Just before continue with my father, my dada, Hafiz Ibrahim Qatrada, his dada, Hafiz Suleiman, came from India around the 1890s. And then he settled down in Amzinto. Was an imam there. And then it's where my dada was born. And then my father, he was born on 12 Zulqada, 1360. That's corresponding to 1st December, 1941. His father named Hafiz Ibrahim Qatrada, and his mother was from the Mater family. So this is term, and that was in Verlem on the north coast. He did not go to school as such. From early age, he went to madrasa, and there was Maulana Yaqub Rawat, rahmatullah alayh, famously known as Munshi Sahab. That's where my father did hifz at an early age.
So he completed his hifz under Hafiz
Sahab? Under Munshi Sahab, rahmatullah alayh.
Munshi Sahab, rahmatullah,
mashallah. And then at the age of 16, it was decided that my father should go to India. That was in 1957. At the age of 16, he left for India, and he traveled with a ship known as the Karanja. And it was many, many days before he reached Bombay. And then eventually he went to Gujarat to meet the family. And then eventually he went to Joburg to study. At that time in Joburg, the contemporary of the alims that were there from South Africa was Maulana Ibrahim Mia, rahmatullah alayh, Maulana Yusuf Tutla, rahmatullah alayh. These were some of the students at that time that were studying in India, at that time in Joburg. After 4 years...
That time studied, also Maulana Abbasab and your father also were at the same time in India. Maulana Abbas, Jina, Maulana Ayub Kachwi, Maulana Ibrahim Adam, those ulama were also present while Abadan Rahmatullah Alayh was in India, in Dioband.
That's correct. So in 1957, when my father went to Dioband, you see, he had the opportunity of seeing Maulana Hussein Madni Rahmatullah Alayh. But he says, due to his young age, he didn't have the courage to go and meet Maulana Hussein Rahmatullah, but from Yusuf who sat in his majlis. And he was present when Maulana Hussein Madni Rahmatullah passed away. And he tried to go and touch the janaza, but due to the crowd, he says he could not get near the janaza. So for 4 years, my noble father, he studied in Joburg, and then after 4 years, he met Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Khan Rahmatullah Ali, and then he moved over to Jalalabad. My father being the first South African to be in Jalalabad. At the time, it was a small village, and there were no South Africans there. My father was the first South African student that went to Jalalabad. And a unique thing was when the people heard in Jalalabad someone coming from Africa, someone from Africa. So they, it was like a sensation. But when they went to see him, they say, but this person, he's like a Gujarati. He's from Gujarat, this person. He's not from Africa. He's not Afriki. So he was. So at that time, it was very, very difficult to study in Jalalabad. There was no proper water, running water. There was no proper light. And then, alhamdulillah, after that, many, many other South Africans followed through. Moana Ansar Mia, rahmatullah Ali. Moana Hanif Musaji, rahmatullah Ali. Moana Musa, Musa Musaji, damat barakatuhum. Moana Ahmad Sadiq, damat barakatuhum. These were the other students that followed suit. After my father qualified in Jalalabad, then he taught for 1 year at the madrasa. And then he also taught at the madrasa. And then Moana Masullah Rahmatullah Ali also offered him to become the principal of the madrasa, which my father declined. So he declined that to become the principal of the madrasa. I want to mention that during my father's studies, while he was studying in Dioban and in, he used to go to Tarawih to different places. One place where he went was Mysore, or the south of India. And there he performed, alhamdulillah, the whole month of Tarawih. And there they awarded him with like a gold medal. And they gave him the title of Sheri Africa, the Lion of Africa. And then he also went to Hazara, which is in the northwest Pakistan, the Pathan area. My Zada, Hafiz Ibrahim, rahmatullah Ali, mentioned to my father that he should go to Hazara, which is near Peshawar. There, his ustad and my Dadi's ustad came from that place, Manchera, Bafa Khurd, you know, that Patani area. There were two famous ustad, Mawlana Abdul Wadud Saab, rahmatullah Ali, and Mawlana Fazli Haq, rahmatullah Ali. So my father went to, used to go perform Tarawih. In those 1 or 2 years, he went to perform Tarawih there. And he also mentioned it was, you know, very, very cold. Ice and snow used to fall during that time. A unique thing he mentioned about Mawlana Fazli Haq, rahmatullah Ali, that he had a son, and on that son, when the son was born, the kalima was written on his fingernail.
Subhanallah.
But the child did not live for long, and he passed away in his infancy. And another unique thing about these two stars, they used to teach in Verulam, and then after a few years, they left and went, they returned to Pakistan. They were also involved in the Khatmi Nubuwat of, you know, against the Qadianis. They took a very, very strong role against the Khatmi Nubuwat, against the Qadianis at that time. So coming to my father, so in 1965, my father returned to South Africa, and then he got married in P in the Musaji family. After that, after marriage, then he went to Egypt to study for 2 years. At that time, Mawlana Ismail Abdul Razak rahmatullah Ali was also there. He used to teach at the Al-Azhar University. Then my father spent 2 years in Egypt. My mother also accompanied him. And then during it happened in 1967, it was the Arab war with the Israelis. So all South Africans had to return to South Africa. So my father returned to South Africa in 1967, and then in 1968, he started taking up a post in Verulam, where he became the maktab, and he also became imam of the masjid. And for 3 years, he was there in Verulam, and then he moved over to Ladysmith in 1970. He started teaching in Ladysmith at the Sufi masjid. So for 3 years, he was the imam there, and also teaching in a maktab. Then after 3 years, he moved to a place known as Tayside, that was known outside Dandi. It was a farm area. It was by the owned by the Chotakaji, rahmatullah Ali. So he called my father over, and then he told my father that we should start this madrasa here. So in 1973-74, my father started this madrasa on the farm, and he was there for 3 years.
مولانا مولانا I think we just lost مولانا. We're going to try and get him back on a clearer line inshallah. Respected listeners, we are speaking about مولانا إسماعيل كترادة رحمه الله, a very very senior alim of South Africa, the first alim to go and graduate and complete while we were in Jalalabad. Mawlana completed from Jalalabad. Mawlana was the first person, and he was the means of many people that went to study there. Mawlana thereafter came back. Mawlana then settled down. Mawlana went to study but in Cairo, and thereafter Mawlana then in the different areas Mawlana made khidmat. Mawlana Masullah, do we have you back?
Mawlana, we got cut off there.
Sorry about that. Jikari or Mawlana?
Where did you stop, Mawlana? Where did we get cut off?
So you were saying that for 3 years, Mawlana was at the farm.
In Lodas Tayside. There, alhamdulillah, we got quite a bit of students. But due to water problem, light problem, my father moved to Dundee. That was near there. And then for 4 years, he taught there. He had his own Hibs Madrasa in Dundee. Then in 1979, my father went for 1 year to spend in PE. And then he returned to Dundee, and then he started his Hibs class again there in Dundee. For 3 years, he also taught a Hibs class. And then in 1983, he decided to take his whole family, and we all went to Jalalabad to spend some time with Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali. He built a house there, and for the family to spend time in the company of Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali, and also for the family, to all of them, to do Hibs. So we stayed 3 years in India. And during these 3 years, alhamdulillah, we had opportunity of going to Bangalore. And we also had the opportunity of going to Kashmir, where some of us performed Taraweeh there. And then, that was for 3 years. After 3 years, we returned to South Africa. And then my father was also based in Dundee. For 4 years, he taught Hibs there also. And then in 1990, he was offered to come to America. He was offered a post to come and teach in America. It was in Inglewood, in the USA. And then my father went there. He saw the place. He was also offered Inglewood. He was also offered a place in Manhattan. He was also offered a place in Canada. But looking at the situation and thinking about his family, he returned to South Africa and he said, no, this is not possible. So what happened in 1991, the Pando brothers of Dundee, they offered my father a farm that they had in Freyhead. So that they want to open this madrasa in Freyhead. So alhamdulillah, in 1991, my father moved to Freyhead with the family, and he established his madrasa Ibrahimiyya Islamiyya. And alhamdulillah, for the last 30 years, he's been based here in Freyhead, district in the Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. So Mawlana, tell me about your trip with your Abba and them in India at that time. How was the experience to live in India, knowing that Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali had such a close love? What was Mawlana Masihullah Rahmatullah Ali like for you?
No, alhamdulillah, he was like a grandfather to us. He also inspired us to do a lot of things, like in terms of the Quran, and also he inspired us that we should do stick fighting. So he used to come after Asr now and then to come see that how the stick fighting used to be. I want to relate one incident where during my time when I was there, and then it was Hazraji Mawlana Ahmadullah, he asked my father where I'll be performing Taraweeh. So my father mentioned that I'll be performing at the Darbar Masjid, that was in the bazaar, in Jalalabad, the Darbar Masjid. So Mawlana Masihullah Ahmadullah mentioned that this Darbar Masjid, you know why it's known as Darbar? Because it had the jubba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was such that if the people wanted it, if the thing wanted to go to the house, if it was, then a person just carried it himself, and you could take it to the house. But if it didn't want to go to the house, even 10 people carried it, it was not possible for them to carry it to the house.
Subhanallah.
So this was mentioned, and also, but after partition, it went to Pakistan. I also want to mention another incident is that when my father went to Jalalabad to take his imtihan, so Allama Rafiq Rahmatullah Ali was taking his imtihan. So he asked my father that this hadith of, you know, where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the woman are naqisat al-aql.
Right.
But how come is that they take so many of the intelligent people's brains and, you know, minds away? How is that possible that...
Morana, have we lost you? Morana, are you with us? I think we've just lost Morana. Morana is, I'm not sure why we're having a small problem with network this evening, but I suppose at times it does happen and at times it does affect the live programming. Those people that want to speak of Morana or that want to, time is not going to allow us, it's going to be so much to say, but those that want to just share their experiences, the number is 071-878-9748. Send me a message, inshallah, and I will try and read your message out. The number is 071-878-9748. And inshallah, we will definitely try and read your messages on air. And we will try and just see if we could perhaps share your experiences. Masullah, do we have you back with us?
Yeah, I think because of the farm area, I think maybe we have a little bit network problem.
Yeah.
So continuing with that imtihan of you know, my father was taking. So Allama Afiq asking, how come is that such intelligent men get carried away with a woman? So my father, he mentioned, see, hushyari or aqalmandi ek cheez hai, aur chalaki ek cheez hai.
Subhanallah.
So, yeah, ji. So intelligence is something else, and cunningness is something else, and shrewdness is something else. These are two different things. So there, Allama Afiq closed the kitab and didn't go further, questioned him, and then admitted my father into the madrasa.
Subhanallah. In terms of some of the khidmat that your father made, Morana, subsequent to graduating, obviously the madrasa would be the standout because he served there so many years, 30 years in the madrasa. What were some of the services that he had offered, Morana?
My father, he's been teaching his for the last, for 50 years, alhamdulillah, from the time he was in Berlin. So, in terms of the imamate, he used to do, and then also the maktab, and then also the Jummah bayans. And then he's also had a habit that during Ramadan, he used to go to the different towns, like Pizzati, Barberton. This was now in the mid 77. He used to go to Barberton and Tarawih, those places, because those places didn't have Tarawih, full Tarawih at that time. So and it was his policy that he should always say that I perform not 20 rakats, I perform 27 rakats, because also the Isha Salah and the Witr Salah. And then he used to give a tafsir after the Tarawih Salah for the people. So alhamdulillah, this had a very great effect on those areas. And then that also prompted the people after that, you know, to send their sons to become Hafiz and afterwards become Alims. He always mentioned that when he used to be in Ladysmith, people used to come from far and wide to listen for Tarawih, because in those areas, there were very, very few Huffaz. He also mentioned when in the late 50s, like 57, 58, they only knew of two Hafiz that was there, Hafiz Hansbai and Hafiz Nurbai. And they used to import, in the tail area, they used to import Hufaz from Cape Town and Gauteng to come perform Tarawih there. So in 1957, after he went to Joburg, they especially called him down in 1959 to come and perform Tarawih in Tongat. So
Maulana Ahmed Muhammadi, who always, mashallah, is a contributor to our program, he says once that I was badly injured in a motor car accident while I was going to perform Tarawih in Madadeni Township in Newcastle. Maulana Katran especially came from Dundee to visit me while I was recuperating. a trip that would normally take 350 kilometers just to visit a young student. Although he was not my ustad, but we shared a very close relationship, Morana encouraged me to study in Jalalabad. That's from Morana Ahmed Muhammadi. Morana Shabir San, do we have you online? Assalamu alaikum. Morana Shabir, are you online?
Hello.
Ji, Morana, please carry on, Morana.
Ji, also want to mention, my father was in Egypt for 2 years, so he made some close friends there. But then after returning to South Africa, he lost contact with the one friend he had there. He was known as Sheikh Zakaria. So he decided, after 40 years, he decided to return to Egypt to go back. And then he said, now, this place, this friend of mine, I lost contact. How will I ever find him? So whatever he remembered for 40 years, he went to that place. And eventually, after 40 years, that brother was staying in the same flat where my father left you for 40 years. Yeah, for 40 years, yeah, he was in that area. So he made contact after 40 years with that brother.
Morana, in terms of his own ma'amulat, we know that being in the company of Morana Masihullah Rahmatullah Alayh, being a Khalifa, it's not a small thing. It's a great, great achievement. What were some of Morana's ma'amulat in terms of his askar and all of that, Morana?
Morana, he was very punctual with his tahajjud salah. And you know, this ma'amul that he used to read at least one quarter para in his tahajjud salah. He was very very punctual with that. Even he was on safar, then also he used to try to read that tahajjud salah, and he used to read his one quarter para. So he was quite. And then obviously during the day he should read the Quran. Besides teaching the huffaz, he should always, whenever you go there, he should always be reading the Quran.
Respected listeners, we are speaking and we are discussing the life of Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katrada Rahmatullahi Alayhi. We have with us Maulana Masihullah, the son of Hazrat Maulana Ismail. If those of us or the family members or the other siblings of Maulana would like to share anything, the number is 071-878-9748. Perhaps you were a student or perhaps you were somebody that knew Maulana. So you could share it with us, inshallah. We take a quick break now. When we return from the break, we carry on with Morana. Hafiz Arshad Bera sends us a message, and he said, I was a student in the Freyhead Madrasa. I would like to mention a salient quality of Morana. He would wake up every morning around 2:30 and perform tahajjud salah aloud so that we could hear him in our rooms that were attached to the madrasa. Another quality was that Morana was tip-top in his attire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him jannatul firdaus. Message coming in. Morana's lectures had you captivated. You could not sleep during his lectures. We have on the line now one of Morana's students, Morana Shabir Khan. Morana, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Morana, we welcome you on the program and we say Jazakallah for taking out your time. Some of your interactions with your ustad, Morana.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all the listeners of Radio Islam. Monsab, I feel very honored and I feel very humble also. You know, after listening to Morana Masihullah, it brings back lots of memories. You know, I had two ustads in my life that really inspired me. One was Maulana Subhanallah Afghan, but Allah grant him jannatul firdaus. The next ustad that was really inspired me and was my spiritual mentor when I was young, 13, 14 years old, was my beloved ustad Hazrat Maulana Ismail Katrada Rahmatullah Alayhi. I start in the year of when Maulana first, before I go to Maulana, I had one Ustad Maulana Subhanallah that only spoke Urdu, and what he did is that he had some very close ties with me, and he started me off with hips. But he didn't last for very long in Lagos, but he was quite old, and then he passed away. And when he left his dunya, we said, again, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. What happened is that we had two other ustaz that came thereafter in that time, in the 68, 69, was one is Hafiz Dawood Bauda, he's well known also. And another ustad who is Marhum Namawana Yasin Khan, both started in the Maktab. In those years, in the 70s and in the late 60s and the 70s, to go to madrasa from the high school, it was something like, you know what, my child has become an alim, or my child has completed his Quran, so now what he can do is now leave madrasa. But I was inspired by both. This was when I was in standard 7, when Muhammad Ismail Kathala Rahmatullahi Alayhi came to Ladysmith. And when he came to Ladysmith, he was unique. You know, his style, his dressing, his reciting of the Quran, all those things. What can I say about my madrasa ustad so much? You know, his voice. When he used to read, really, it was something, it still brings that memory in my mind. He used to say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawm al-Din, Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'in. She read like that. Nevertheless, I was in madrasa. I was in standard 7 at that time, which was known as grade 9 in today's time. And what happened is that Maulana's style of teaching, there was not much, those days they didn't have fiqh, but Maulana should teach us best as ever in the English form. And he made it so perfect, okay. So nice, so beautiful, so easy that we understood everything. But we didn't have no textbooks, but Maulana used to teach us from the board, and we used to understand. Alhamdulillah, till today I will never forget that. And as the days went by, it was coming to the end of the year, Maulana one day just came to my house with Marhum, another Maulana, there was some lady said, Maulana Yasin Rahim, Rahmatullah Alayh, came to my house and spoke to my mother. And that time he said to my mother, I believe your son was doing hifz so many years ago, and I want him to continue with his hifz. My mother called me up and said, Beta, Maulana is here, your ustad is here, and this is what he wants. At that time, there was no choice. So my mother said, Beta, go ahead, you have to do it. And Maulana looked at me, and he smiled. And I said, Ma, I am prepared. But my mother said to Maulana, oh, there's only one problem. Maulana, they said, we are a very, very poor family. We were 7 siblings. Mm-hmm. And what happened is that we're getting a government grant of 5 rands per child. So that was 35 rands. So now if he's going to leave school, that 5 rand is going to get cut. Maulana was ajib. Maulana said, don't worry, I will give it to him. And believe you me, when the school came, the last day of school, when I went to madrasa the last day, Maulana asked me, Beta, are you coming tomorrow? I said, Ji, Maulana. And the next day, I went to the his class. It was December holidays. And I think Maulana's tawajju. You know why? Maulana, nobody realized Maulana. Maulana is a buzrug of South Africa. Maulana was one of the buzrugs of South Africa. Wallahi. Nobody realized that. Why? Because Maulana was very simple, simple, simple. But what happened? I started off my hifz, and believe you me, we had Hazrat Maulana Yunus Osman. We had Marhum Maulana Vauda, Yaqub Vauda. And we had some other his class students with him there. Alhamdulillah, it came December. I carried on. When 1 or 2 days before school, my mother asked me again, "Ki beta, are you going to go to school or not? Must I get your uniforms ready?" Or I said, "No, ma." Maulana, when this before school opened, he looked at me and he smiled. He said, "You're going to school tomorrow." I said, "Shame, no, Maulana, I'm not going." Maulana's tawajju was on me. Wallahi nazim. And then what happened is that when schools opened, alhamdulillah, it carried on. This was now in 71, I recall 1971. And I used to do a lot of Molana's work. I was like the Molana's student, Molana's son. And I used to do his shopping, do this, do that, and everything. If you recall, if Basila recall, he was still small. Appa was this. He used to say, Shabir, come here, go and do this, buy this. Buy. And Wallahi al-Azim, you know that 5 rands that my mother said, Molana said, he'll give it to me. I used to take Molana's check from the Edisman and go and cash it by Musajid, give it to Abdullah, and Abdullah should bring the money to Molana. And once I looked at the check, you know how much it was? The check was only 75 rands at that time. And Wallah, Molana didn't give me 5 rands. Molana didn't give me 5 rands. Molana made sure he gave me over 20 rands. Give it to mom. Take this, give this to your mother. Till this, alhamdulillah, my mother is still living. When she heard of Molana passing away, she cried. She said, be better. Why didn't you take me? I said, Molana, don't worry. One day we'll go and meet Appa also. So in that time, I started my husband Molana, and Molana, Molana would just look at him. His style, his humbleness was something great. But in that time, January, February, March, April, something happened, and Molana decided he is going to study. I think he went to England, and all the Hibs boys that were there, they all had to leave to go. And Molana asked me, now, better, what are you going to do? I said, well, Molana, we'll decide what to do. But Molana didn't go away for a very long period, because I know when he was leaving Ladysmith, he packed all his kitabs in the boxes, and in that boxes, what we threw that mud ball so no insects can get inside. And I used to make dua, my mother used to make dua and say, Allah, make it easy for my son and make it easy for Molana, for whatever he's doing, he must come back as quick as possible. And Wallah, Molana went for, I think, about 6 months, I don't recall. And Molana came back. When Molana came back, then we started the Hibs class. I was in the Hibs class with him. There's another lawyer now, he's an advocate, Afzal Aq, who was there. And we had this one Hafiz Sab, Qari Sab, Ahmad Sayyid, Jubal was there. And lots of other students. But nonetheless, when Molana was leaving for England to go and study, he said to me, better, I'm going to send you to India. He got my passport ready, he got everything ready, and when he came back, my passport was ready. Nevertheless, we carried on, and then in 1972, I will never forget this year, when Molana said, better, you got your passport, got everything, now you will have to leave. He came to my mother and he said, Appa, your son is going to go to India. When my mother heard this, he said, Molana, whatever is your desire. Molana doesn't hesitate to say goodbye. He's going to go, what he's going to do, is he going to study, he's not going to study. Molana found the person to sponsor me. And Wallah, let me tell you, Molana took me personally to Durban. He came, my mother and my one auntie and his family went in one car, and myself and Mufti Shiraz Desai, who was in PE, we went with one bucket. Because I had that time when I was going, Molana bought from me all my goods. You know, that time you should travel with the petty, you know, the trunk.
Molana, can we leave it there for now and carry on? We have quite a few things to discuss, or is Molana wanting to say anything that we haven't yet covered?
No, Molana is... What was it?
I think we're going to leave it there for now. A message coming in. Assalamu alaikum. Listening to your program. One amazing quality, up until his last day, he used to wash, iron his own clothes, dress, and make them, and clean his room every day like clockwork while the boys were reading the door. Without fail for years, that consistency is commendable. That comes from one of our friends, Morana Firosa, who was perhaps one of the students of Morana as well. Monsieur, so much has been said. We have about 10 minutes to cover or to conclude the program. Perhaps we give you the last 10 minutes to wrap up whatever preparation you have made and close the program, Morana. Morana, are you with us? We have Qari Ahmed on the line. Qari Sahab, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Morana, I know time is running out. And earlier you mentioned
your contribution, you know, to the program quickly, Morana.
Yeah. All right. What can I say? One of the greatest ustaz I've ever had. Truly the loss of a great alim, an ocean of knowledge, and Wallahi, a friend of Allah. a man of explicit qualities, Manala. You know, remarkable soul with outstanding qualities. I feel the pain. You know, we take solace from the beautiful legacy that he has left behind in the form of his good ways, his mannerism, his effort for deen, and sabr that he practiced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him the highest stages and then fulfill those. With regards to the Quran, Malana, his Quran was his priority. And he was such a good teacher. He even looked apart, like you've heard, always pen, watch, waistcoat, shoes, the jinnah hat. A true leader who carried himself so well. He was a global man with vast knowledge, alhamdulillah. And you know the beauty about my ustad is that he brought out the best in every student. You know, he loved teaching. And he taught children to love learning. I remember, you know, whenever we did anything wrong in our days as students, he would admittedly, he would with wisdom come and talk to us. And a hadith comes to mind, man dalla ala khayb falahu misla ajri fa'ili, that whoever points to something good will have the same reward as the one who does it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him all the reward and increase his daraja. You know, also what I remember is the adoration of his followers throughout South Africa is a reminder of how the Ashab Kiram adored Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The sadness and the shock at the news, Maulana Ubaidullah, of his passing, one thinks of how the demise of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam affected those who loved him, that is a Sahaba. I know the time is short, there's so much I want to mention, but I'm grateful to this great personality. Just two more things. One is special thanks to Ye Islam for allowing us to share this platform in talking about our great Ustad. And also, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted his grave be lit by the light of the Quran. His guide to the straight path, Malana, was his ticket to Jannah, was basically the Quran. What else would be needed for the people, for the Ahlul Quran, when their dedication has brought them to the ultimate win of this life and the next? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the Ahlul Quran. Well, there's so much.
There could be
a lot of other people. But if it wasn't through my ustad, I was actually one of the very first students. When I used to travel 4 kilometers walking on the mother, 4 o'clock in the morning, going to read Al-Nabai al-Azim, and I'll go back. I think I was one of the first, actually, in Sufi Masjid. And then he transferred me to Tayside with him. And a lot of my colleagues mentioned there's two things I inherited from my ustad. Whether it's true or not, I don't know. Mawla and Mawla Ahmed can actually relate to that. What is the dressing style, you know, which I think I inherited from you. And I think I'm one, you know, I'm going to boast over here a little, Mawlana Ubaidullah, that I think I'm the only student of Marhum Mawlana Ismail Qadrada Rahimahullah that can actually recite exactly the way he recited.
Mawlana, give it to us. Let's hear it, Mawlana.
All right, how much time have I got?
I give you 1 minute, Mawlana. Give us something short and sharp.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inna lil-muttaqeen mafaza hadaiq wa a'naba wa kawa'ib atraba wa ka'asan dihaqa. لا يسمعون فيها لغوا ولا كذابا جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا. Well, late at night, voice not right. Inshallah, one day we'll come with
it. But one day, inshallah, Marana will get you. We say Jazakallah for your time. Message coming in. Assalamu alaikum. Marana was a close friend and family member of my father, Abdul Qadir Muhammadi, and kept a very close relationship with his people. That my father spent his last 15 Shaban with Marana Ismail. Marana Dawood Vauda, someone that always listens to our program, Allah Ta'ala bless him. By the grace of Allah, Khadim, that is Marana, he says, I completed his by Hazrat Marana Ismail Sahib and was honored to be in his, to service him till the end. Hazrat Marana had many, many unique ways. Well, Masyullah, I mean, from the starting, we knew that time would never be enough.
Indeed.
But some
Indeed.
Of your concluding remarks on an amazing, amazing, perhaps one of the great people that the country has witnessed.
Let me mention one or two things. My father was also a cook. He also mentioned that he used to cook in Jovan.
And he also mentioned one incident that, in Germany he was cooking sugar beans. And it so happened that he's cooking the sugar beans, and for hours it was not getting soft. And he's just using, paraffin, called Mitikatel, just using. Yes. After 4 or 5 hours, you say the sugar beans are not getting soft because there were some South African guests there, so he wanted to cook for them. Then afterwards, the apa that was there told him, the sugar beans that you are cooking, looks like you didn't soak it. Sugar beans, you must first soak it overnight, and then you must cook it. And then he used to also cook another dish known as the Bukhari plow. So once or twice he did cook that. He was also very health conscious. He used to jog every day after Asr, in Dandi. And when he was to be teaching his hifz in Dandi, some of his students, like Mawlana Dawood Vauda and Mawlana Ahmad Muttara, they used to walk with my father from the house right to the masjid, going three kilometers and coming back, returning 3 kilometers. That was the daily routine. And when he moved to Freyhead, then he used to also after Asr walk for about 2-3 kilometers. And now and then, where our madrasa is situated, to town, it's about 10 kilometers. Alhamdulillah, he used to walk the 10 kilometers. So he was very, very health conscious, in particular with his clothes, as the other guest mentioned, very, proper. He used to iron his own clothes. He used to wash his own clothes. He used to take his iron, he used to take his own blanket when he used to travel with him. And, very particular with his food also. So these were some of the qualities. One of you did give me time. I just want to mention one, two lines.
Please do so, Maulana. Please carry on.
One of his old students from Ladysmith, Dr. Muhammad Malla, who's a surgeon today, he wrote a tribute to my father. So I just want to mention one or two things that he mentioned there. He says, his beautiful voice still rings in my ears and continues to haunt me. At that time, it was not fashionable for the masjids to have any many musallis for the 5 daily salah. I firmly believe that it was his influence that changed the lives of many of the residents of Ladysmith. There was an aura about him that attracted people to the masjid. Melodious would perhaps be an understatement to describe his incredible voice. The Jumba khutbah was delivered with an aplomb and a passion which was foreign at the time. His 20 rakat tarawih got one's hair standing. I always reminded him in subsequent meetings about his tarawih reading. The tradition then and even now was to read 1 1/4 paras for the first 16 nights. What Maulana did was to finish the first para in the first 6 to 8 rakat, resulting in long rakat. I asked him in my discussion with many years later about this, and he mentioned to me that his love for the Quran was so great that to break it up into smaller sections took some of the gross away from it. He jokingly told me that he started off by making the musallis part of a marathon, and the latter part of the tarawih then became a sprint. The absolute clarity of his voice, the measured pace and the highs and lows when he came to emphasizing certain parts were the hallmarks of a period of magnificent reading. This too was evident in the rendition of the Jumma khutbah. So Dr. Sab he's got a long tribute. I don't go through it. But what's unique thing about Dr. Sab is he's got a report that my father signed in 1970. And Dr. Sab kept this report for 50 years.
SubhanAllah, 50 years.
50 years he's got this report, yeah. And it's also got my father's signature, yeah. And it's dated December 1970. And here you also mentioned that his colleagues were Mawlana Salim Karim, Mawlana Shabir Khan, Umar Mullah, and Yusuf Mullah. These were the contemporary. Another unique thing of my father is that he used to love reading Mawlana Thani's kitabs. He used Mawlana Thani's kitabs, front and back. And he was a bookworm. Any book that came on the market, he would want to get it. And at the end, when my brother Mawlana Ahmad went to meet him, he was asking about the special kitab, Mazal Bahrain, that he heard from Mufti Abdullah, mentioned it. So he was eager to get the kitab. And the kitab did come, but it was not in his taqdeer to read the kitab. Anyway.
Maulana, I must say, I want to do another program, inshallah, maybe in a week or two, again, to follow up whatever we haven't done, read some of the messages and that, etc. But really, from our side, Morana, we've lost a giant. What did the Ruhaniya, the Dua, the Tahajjud also goes? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it that each one of us follow in their footsteps. And may Allah ta'ala make you all the children follow in the footsteps of such a great, amazing, wonderful senior alim, not only of our country, but of the world as well, Morana.
Well, I want to mention that Morana left two wives, six sons and one daughter, alhamdulillah, all of them are hufaz, and 30 grandchildren, with 16 are hafiz, and also 8 great-grandchildren. And he passed away on 23rd Jamal al-Ula, 7 January 2021. So let me take this opportunity of thanking one and all for sending the different tributes, du'as, of the different organizations, you know, speaking good things about my father and how it affected him in their way. Allah Ta'ala accept all his efforts, and whoever had kind words, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala reward all of them.
Inshallah. The ulama kiram, I'm going to request you that Morana had a program where he spoke about his own life at the ulama legacy program that the Jamiatul Ulama hosted a year or two back. And in that program, Morana spoke of his time in Jalalabad, etc. The recordings are available from Morana Yusuf Wadi. If you get a chance, take a listen to it. It's an absolutely fascinating listen. I mean, it's something that I would definitely request the ulama to listen to, inshallah. From myself, Ubaidullah Bawajah, until we do the ulama profile again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.